To download more lectures, learn more about our project, and to help support it, visit www.bayinah.com/dream. That's BAYYINAH/dream. You are free to share these recordings with family and friends. Thank you and Jazakum Allah Khairan for helping us make our dream a reality.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا السماء انفطرت وإذا الكواكب انتثرت وإذا البحار فجرت وإذا القبور بعثرت علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah ta'ala, I'd like to begin with something I completely missed last week that should have been mentioned. It's a very powerful and important point that was overlooked. And that has to do with two ayat in the previous surah, Surah Kuwirat. And those two ayat are وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ and the ayah following إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla swears by the night, he says وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ, we talked about that, the night as it first starts getting dark. Ashas is either the early morning part before the morning kicks in, or the evening part right after the sun has gone down. This is when things become blurry and difficult to see. And وَصُبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ, and I swear by the morning, as it gets a chance to take a breath, as though it was under a chokehold of night and darkness, and it gets to finally release itself. We didn't connect it to the oath that follows. Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. No doubt, it is the word of a noble messenger, meaning the messenger, Jibreel alayhi salam. We talked about the difference between qawl and kalam. But we didn't connect the oaths with the jawab al-qasam, the response. And this actually has to do with, we talked about how the mushrikun, they had some strange beliefs about the stars, and they thought that the stars bring revelation. You know, the jinn, they go, these devils, they go up into the heavens and they steal information, or they get information from these secret sources, and then they come down and they give it. And there's no difference between what they say and what this man Muhammad says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is manifest in the Qur'an in two ways. They use the word kahin, right, mind reader, and this is one way, and the other way is majnoon, right? He's possessed by the jinn, or he gets it from the jinn, or there's jinn overcome him. And this is actually paralleled in the imagery. The difference between the clarity and obscurity between what they say and what the messenger says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the same difference between the night when it's blurry and it's hard to see. And the difference between that and the clarity of vision you get when the morning is clear. It's like that difference. It's that far apart. So if it's so clear, then it should be absolutely, absolutely abundantly clear to you. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. That no doubt, this is truly the word of a noble messenger. This is not some dubious, you know, devils that are delivering this message, right? And then we talked about the integrity of revelation. So that's the first thing that needed to be highlighted. The second thing is, of course, the conclusion of the previous surah tied into the introduction of this one. At the very end of Surah Al-Takwir, we found a challenge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a criticism. Allah azza wa jalla says, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ? Where are you headed? Where are you going? إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. This is nothing but a reminder for all of the nations of the world, all of the previous nations, and now it's for all peoples. And now Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. This is specifically for the one of you who wants to set themselves straight. For the one who wants to set themselves straight. Now where are you headed? In response to it is a rhetorical response. All of us are headed towards a day, whether you believe it or not, in which certain catastrophic events are going to take place. So it sort of begins now in the direction where all of us are headed. So it's almost like a rhetorical response to فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ in reality. Where do you think you're going and where in reality are you going? So we begin the surah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. When this, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, when the sky, and idha is a means of calling attention and saying when to a future event typically, and another meaning of idha is all of a sudden. Okay, فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ. All of a sudden it became a python, right? All of a sudden. So idha sama'un fatarat, Allah Azza wa Jalla swears by the sky, and notice in the previous surah he began with swearing by the sun. By swearing by the sun. And the sky, the oath of the sky also came up. So Surah Al-Takwir began, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوْبِرَتْ. And then later on in the surah, we had إِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. There was كُشِطَتْ, when the skin of the sky is peeled and it turns red, and that and tied to the flame, the flames that are coming. You will notice there's a change in imagery from Surah Al-Takwir to now Surah Al-Infitar, even though it seems like they're talking about the same subject. In the previous surah, the two dominant themes that overshadowed all of the words that came were two things. There was darkness, right? Loss of light. The sun is being wrapped up. The stars are losing their light. The girl is being buried, and burial is an imagery of darkness. So the kinds of words we found in Surah Al-Takwir were takwir, inkidar, tasjir, right? Then the ma'uda, kash, tas'ir, al-khunnas, al-kunnas, right? As'as. These are words that all have something to do with either darkness, or the other dominant theme there was the flames, right? وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ. Right, so these are the two dominant negative themes. Here we're going to see the themes of ripping, tearing, motion, rattling. There's another kind of theme of words that are connected to each other in this surah, and we'll see that beautiful connectivity in the words, a thread that goes across these words. So the first word is infitar, which is also the name of the surah. There are many words that come from this one word. You know, in Arabic you find tafattara, you find infatara, you find fatara. Allah, one of Allah's names, fatir as-samawat wal-ard, comes from the same root. Right, fatara literally means to tear something wide open, or to, if something is long, that you tear it across its length. Right, so if you tear it across the short side, that's not, you know, futur, but it's you tear across it from its length. Also, in case of the sky, Allah says hal tara min futur. Right, do you see any tears in it? Do you see any flaws in it? Right, so this is the word in fatara. So what this alludes to is the sky being severely damaged across the horizon. A long tear in the sky, right? And the imagery usually we find in classical Arabic literature, we find this word being used for sheets of cloth. And you'll see an imagery, a parallel in imagery between sheets of cloth and the sky. It's like this tent over us. And the other thing here, again, I'd like to highlight that I kind of talked about last time too. The Quran is not speaking to us in scientific terms necessarily. Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking to us based on human experience, what the eye sees. And what the eye sees is, you know, it's captured in very picturesque kinds of words. So if we try to artificially impose science into these things, we may or may not come up with correct conclusions. But if we stay true to the language and how the Arabs used to communicate, then perhaps we'll be closer to what the intended meaning is. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So now the imagery is that of this canopy over us that is going to have a crack in it. Now imagine this other thing, you know, you have this tent, and it's got you're hung all these lamps and lights in that tent.
When the tent rips, what happens to all those lights? They fall, right? They fall. There's this collapse, right? So now the very next words are وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. SubhanAllah. When the stars start falling apart. When they start falling apart. They start dispersing. There's so many words in the Quran for dispersion. Istatara, infadda, intathara, intashara, imbatha. All these words are used in the Quran for dispersion. But specifically the word that's used here for the stars, or for the dispersion of the stars, is intatharat.
And this word has to do with when something falls due to a sudden jerk. Give you an example. You take a bunch of pearls or like marbles, and you put them on a bed.
And all of a sudden you jerk the sheet. See what happens? That's intithar, right? So that image that's been given to us is that of the sky being jerked and ripped, and all of a sudden the stars start falling like marbles off of a bed. SubhanAllah. The word here used for stars is kawkab. Idhal kawakib. The previous surah used a different word for stars. We found وَإِذَا النُّجُومٌ كَدَرَتْ. There was Najm, and now there is Kawkab, right next to each other. This is actually complementary. There was the sky, here there's the sky. There was Nujum, here there is Kawakib. It's not the same, is it? The surahs are not the same, but they're similar. The words for stars are not the same, but they are similar. But there's another deeper parallel here. The word Najm literally means that which shines or twinkles. Meaning it gets bright, then gets less bright, then gets bright, then gets less bright. And we talked about the theme of the previous surah being light and darkness. So it's more appropriate in that place. The word kawkab, literally by some of the ulama of language, especially in Lisan al-Arab, Ibn Mandul talks about this, Al-Bahr al-Muhit speaks about this, that kawkab is a large star, or a brilliant star, or the most fixed of the stars that the Arabs use for navigation. And it's also used for planets. So large bodies are called kawkab. So Najm highlights the brilliance, on the other hand, kawkab highlights the magnitude and the fact that they are fixtures. So now the last thing you expect from a fixture is that it falls from its place, it loses its position. But when this day occurs, وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. Even the kawakib,
even those fixtures, even those things that we look to for navigation, and the stars were a significant means of navigation in travel in the sea, and also at night travel in the desert. So now those means of navigation, so the human being has lost himself, because those things are gone, they've dispersed, they've fallen. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla goes to another word, another scene that was depicted for us in the previous surah. Here subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. And when the oceans, they explode, literally they explode. And we'll talk about that word in a little bit more. And explode doesn't really do justice to it. But in the previous surah, we found a very similar ayah. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. سُجِّرَتْ. And سُجِّرَتْ literally to boil over with heat. Right, for that cauldron or that giant pot to be put on top of a flame filled with coal and it's inflamed. So the theme there was heat and darkness. Here the theme is what? Movement. Movement. You know, the Fajr prayer is called Fajr because it rips through the darkness. The Fajr, like أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَ, we talked about that a couple of surahs ago. The Fajr, or the plural Fajr or Fujar, these are the people who violate the commandments of Allah in the worst way. In the most, you know, obscene way. They don't, you know, there's the guy who disobeys Allah and is kind of ashamed about it. He kind of does it in hiding, or he does a few things wrong. But then there's the fajr, who does it out in the open, chest sticking out, and he says, what are you going to do about it? This is a fajr. This is not just a mudnib, right? This is someone far worse. So now here, the oceans, they explode, which means they don't stay where they're supposed to. The contents of the ocean, the water, it doesn't stay where it's supposed to. It now rips out and it starts going all over the place. This word is used elsewhere in the Quran also. Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the complaint of those who disbelieved in the Akhirah. وَقَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكْ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. Also we find فَتُفَجِّرَ. Tafjir is used in the Quran. This word is used for when you have, when you rip up the earth, and you want to make waterways for irrigation. Again, the theme ripping, tearing open, right? And now the oceans are boiling, they're not boiling out this time, they're exploding out, meaning they're just coming out everywhere. They're spilling over everywhere. Again, motion, like tsunami style, right? SubhanAllah. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. So the water doesn't stay where it's supposed to. Let's look at the next scene. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. Again, something that we expect to keep in its place. The qabr in Arabic is what? The grave. There are three words in the Quran, or three or four words in the Quran used for the grave. There's qabr, there's marqad, right? Man ba'athana min marqadina, right? The marqad is used from ruqud, which is a uncomfortable kind of sleep. And you know, the ulama comment that in Surah Yasin, when they complain, who has raised us from our marqad, the reason for that is, don't worry about it, the cell phones go off all the time, it's okay. They're not that interesting. Inshallah. Okay. Oh, speakerphone, that's really bad. We'll wait. Inshallah. Okay. So the word marqad is used for when you're sleeping, but you're not really in your deep sleep. You're kind of annoyed, right, in your sleep. That's marqad. It's not deep sleep. Now, the ulama comment, when the people are raised on the Day of Judgment, the things they will see are so vicious that even the punishment of the grave, they will compare to uncomfortable sleep. So they'll just say, مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِمْ مَرْقَدِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. So in comparison, I mean, if you read the hadith about the punishment of the grave, they're very graphic, they're very intense. But compared to what they will see when they rise from there, they'll compare that to what? مَرْقَدْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Then another word used for graves is ajdath, jadath. Okay? And this is a kind of grave whose even the signs of it are gone. So jadath could be, you know, people get cremated on the earth. Some people get buried, like they're mass graves, and we don't even know where they are, right? So nobody even knows there's a graveyard, and people build homes on top of them, and construction happens, and who knows what went on. These are the ajdas, but they're not marked. They're just, they've disappeared from the face of the earth. That's mentioned in other places. Here's the word qabr. Qabr, literally that which is dug with the intent of burying someone. You see the theme of ripping the earth again, and digging, right? And then the body is put, Allah says, bu'thirat. The ulama of ishtiqaq, they comment that the word bu'thirat or ba'thara in Arabic comes from ba'atha and athara together. That this fusion of two words together, and this is not far from the truth because it has meanings of both. Ba'thara, let me explain the verb to you first. It means we do this, it's easy to understand in our time. Let's say you're traveling, and this happened to me this morning, so I could give you an easy, relevant example, right? So I'm leaving the hotel room, and I can't find my keys. And I've already packed everything up, and it's definitely not in the room, so where is it? It's in the suitcase. So what do? I open it up and I turn everything upside down to find the keys because I'm going to miss my flight. When you dig into something and then you just turn it upside down and then pull something out, this is called ba'thara. You make something, you drag something out, you make it come out, but you do it after you manipulate what's on the inside. You rattle the insides of something. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives this image for what? For graves. That graves will be like manipulated, like, you know, you're trying to get something out of them, and who's coming out of them? We are, and we're going to be pulled out and yanked out, and we're going to be standing right there. Subhanallah. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. Very powerful image in the Quran. Now, in the previous surah, we found وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. Even when all people are going to be paired, remember the good with the good, the bad with the bad. But how will they be paired? First, they will be dragged out. So it's almost taking us a scene behind the previous surah's scene. Right? There was وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. Here, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. In the previous surah, we found عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Every person knows full well whatever they have to present, whatever reluctantly they have to bring forward. Now there's an explanation of that ayah. This ayah is a tafsir of that ayah. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla says, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Very similar. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Now there's more words here than there, which illustrates that this is an explanation of that. You want to fully understand what that was, you come over here. Let's understand a few things about these two words that are very powerful. They're probably one of the most examples of comprehensive words in the Quran. They're very deep statements. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, every person knows full well, literally speaking, whatever this person sent forward, قدمت, and whatever this person left behind or procrastinated. Now, what does that mean to send forward and behind? We can understand this in our times in simple ways, but before we come to the analogies, let's look at some things that have been said by the ulama. One of the things by qaddama, to send forward, it refers to the good deeds that you do or the bad deeds that you do. Qaddama could be the good deeds that you do and the bad deeds that you do. But what does it mean? Why didn't Allah suggest they do them? He said they send them forward. You know, nowadays you send an email, you hit send, can you get it back? No, it's gone. Words. Like when you're writing a letter, you can change your words. But when you're speaking to someone, once you've said it, can you take it back? It's too late. It's gone. It's been sent. Even now we understand this much better. Somebody explained this 100 years ago, probably couldn't have used the email example, right? But now Allah has made it easier for us to even understand, how do you send something forward? How do you forward something literally? SubhanAllah. Every time we do something, every time we say something, every act that we do, good or bad, it has now been sent, mailed, FedEx, delivered for processing. It's been sent forward. Now, the means of delivery, what's the means of delivery when an action is sent? Like nowadays, we have technology computers, or we have FedEx, or we have the United States Postal Service. What is Allah's means of, first of all, getting this stuff recorded and then getting it delivered? So we'll, later on in the surah, we'll see the angels who write. How this is sent forward. The mechanism by which this is sent forward. That's coming up in the same surah, right? So عَلِمَتْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. So this is the first thing. What a person does good is sent forward. What a person that does, what bad he does is also sent forward. Now the other thing is أَخَّرَتْ. What was left behind. This is very powerful too. There were opportunities to do good things that you didn't take. There was you had to wake up for salah. You should have come to the masjid. You should not, you know, you should have given sadaqah when they were having that fundraiser, when they were asking for help. So when these opportunities of good come, and the person does not take them, he left that opportunity behind. Also, there were opportunities to sin, to do something bad. And this person, he had the opportunity to do the wrong thing, but he left it behind, he didn't touch it. He left it behind. So this is an example of what he left behind. So قَدَّمَتْ wa. Every person will know very well what are the things that they sent forward, what are the things that they have to now show for themselves, أحضرت from the previous surah, what are the things that they left behind. And some of the things that we left behind, we will be sorry that we left them behind. And some of the things that we left behind, we'll say, I'm so happy I left that behind. Right? I'm so happy I left that behind. So in Quran, we'll find a passage of, you know, in كان لي, you know, قرين. I used to have a friend back in the day. Right? And I'm so happy I didn't stay friends with you, man. So he'll look over and he'll look at the guy in the hellfire and he'll say, I found my promise to be true. What about you? You having a good time down?